We're in 1 Timothy chapter 2 today. If you have your Bibles, flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy is a wonderful book of practical things. Gives us practical application. Last week we ordained a couple of men into the deacon ministry. It gives us a practical understanding of what it takes to be a church that has deacons and what deacons' responsibilities are to do. We're going to jump backwards just a little bit to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And what we're going to see today is the most divisive teaching in the pastoral epistles. This is the teaching that if you were to grab the commentaries off my desk, there are more pages about these five verses than about any other section in all the pastoral epistles. Books upon books upon books have been written about these five verses. It is a difficult teaching. It's a difficult teaching because it deals specifically with something that we don't like to see in the year 2025, which is that there are men and that there are women, and that those things are not necessarily identical. Men and women are not necessarily identical. We see this played out in debates about college athletics and things of that nature. I am not overly interested in those debates today, because the purpose of 1 Timothy is, what does a well-ordered church look like? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these contentious verses. I'm going to let you stew on those contentious verses, and then I'm going to tell you what my very best faith understanding of what these verses mean. Recognizing that it's possible, however unlikely, that I could be mistaken about something. And I know that there will be people in this room who will disagree with my first point, and I know that there will be people in this room who disagree with my second point. And some of you will disagree for different reasons about those things. And I'm okay with you being wrong today. As with all things, I do try to submit myself to the Word. And if I'm wrong, I pray the Lord will make it clear to me. So let's read it, guys. This will be fun. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is coming off of the first half of 1 Timothy 2, where Paul is instructing the Ephesian men through Timothy to pray well, pray for their leaders, pray for the salvation of their countrymen, to live quiet lives that will lead to their salvation. And then he gives some specific commands to men that were problems within the church. He's like, Timothy, tell the men in the church when they pray to pray with uplifted arms, not quarreling with one another, not fighting, not arguing, because apparently during church time, sometimes the men would get into it with each other. Some of y'all have been in business meetings before. You've seen this happen in the church. And then he turned his attention to the ladies. He says, ladies, when you're in the midst of prayer and you're coming into worship, don't come in with name brand clothes and designer things and your hair done up in ways to draw attention to you. Don't make it about you and about yourself. Focus fully on making the Lord known. And from that comes this next teaching. This teaching will precede the teaching about what it takes to be an elder or a pastor in a church, and what it takes to be a deacon in a church. I'll have to get you the whole context there. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Paul writes, let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. I don't know if y'all would have picked up on any of the issues that this passage may have brought to us today. But let's start at the beginning. Verse 11, Paul instructs Timothy to let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. This flies in the face of pretty much every minute of my life. This distinctiveness that women should learn in some specific way, and it seems sort of debasing and degrading, like, no, you don't have anything to offer. Please, not right now, ladies. Only want the amens coming from the men today. Shh, don't talk. Quietly, submissive, which has got a whole slew of stuff going on with that. We're barely even going to touch on that. And we read it and we think, whew, Paul. I don't know if you understand, but women can vote now, Paul. I don't know if you know this, but women are leaders in different areas. We had a female vice president of the United States of America. Paul, are you unaware of that? CEOs are women, Paul. Our teachers and professors are women. Paul, do you understand how out of touch you are with modern sensibilities? And I would argue that Paul probably doesn't really care that much about modern sensibilities. But we do, because we live in modern sensibilities. So what do we start with in this thing? Well, I've got good news for you, ladies. Whereas the sermon may seem like bad news a lot. By the way, if you're new here today, I just want you to know, like, give me one more chance, okay? Give me one more chance, because I'm probably going to make you upset today, okay? But there's good news in this passage, this verse 11, because what Paul is actually saying is, let a woman learn, and then he gives some qualifications there. English, by the way, verb, let, allow, right? The object of the sentence, subject of the sentence, a woman. And what do you let the woman do? Learn. This idea of teaching women the Bible was a cutting-edge idea in the ancient world. Women were forbidden from the study of the Torah in all sorts of Jewish society. They weren't allowed to learn. So when Paul says to allow a woman to learn, this is, well, in modern sensibility, seems very restrictive, quietly submissive. We focus on the modifiers for how they are to learn. But the fact that they are included in the learning process at all is a paradigm-shifting thing that is taking place in the church. It is a big deal. There was I forget the quote, so I'm going to misquote it, but you'll get the spirit of it. There was a rabbi who said it's better to burn the Torah than to teach it to a woman. That is the culture in which the New Testament is being birthed out of. So when Paul is giving instruction to Timothy, he's saying, let a woman learn in quietness and submissiveness. What he's saying is women have a place in the learning of God's word. This is really good news. And ladies, I want you to know, you have a place in the learning of God's word. You should be learning God's word. We don't put you in a separate room to, I don't know, cook or take care of the kids or something else while the men get together to do men work of learning about God. You have a responsibility to learn. And spoiler alert, when you're a learner, you will teach what you learn. If you learn something and you're not teaching it, I wonder about the learning that's taking place. I'll read something sometimes, and I'll be like, that's a fun fact. And then I will go home, and I'll be like, hey, here's a fun fact. And I share this thing that I learned, because when you learn stuff, and it's interesting, and it's compelling to you, you will instruct, share what you've learned. And that is entirely appropriate for every learner to do. The first point that Paul is trying to make is that all Christians are to be learners. All Christians are to be learners. Not just male Christians, not just Jewish-leaning Christians. All Christians are to be learners. And you're here today. God bless you for that. You are to be a learner. And while all Christians are learners, there is something that divides and separates the sexes. We know we are not all the same. We sense that we are not all the same. I went to college many, many years ago. And when I went to college, we lived in a sweet situation in my dorm. So I had a roommate whom I knew. And then I had three other rooms that were linked to me. And so eight of us shared a common living space and kitchen and something like this. And one of the guys, the guy directly across from me, I didn't share a bathroom with him, but across the way from me, was different. There was something about him that was different. He was effeminate in the way in which he presented himself. I don't believe that he was a homosexual. He had a girlfriend and blah, blah, blah. But he was effeminate. And it stood out to me because I was like, something's not like right here. Like, he just jumps out at you. Like, for a guy to act like that just doesn't seem right. There's a natural thing inside of us we can pick up on. Oh, man, that seems wrong. It's something naturally inside of us that we pick up on. There is a difference between men and women. There's a difference in activities that they typically will enjoy, though obviously women can enjoy things that are typically for guys, and guys can enjoy things that are typically for women. But on the whole, there's differences, and the difference of the sexes is not a downgrade of people. You're not less of a person because you are a woman. In fact, when Paul says there's no difference between Jew and Greek, slave or free, male or female, right? This is a teaching of the church to say there is an equality among us inside of the eyes of God. But inside of a church well-ordered, there is some differences. And so what Paul says here, which is the verse that the ink gets spilled over, is verse 12. He says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And what Paul is saying here, just to make it clear, and what I believe is true, is that there is a role of teacher within the church, an authoritative teacher within the church, which is limited to male-only participation. And that seems really sexist. I know. I'm okay with that today. It seems bad to say that there is a role that is only open to men. Good news, by the way, it's not open to most men. Because the vast majority of men, as we're going to read in the next chapter, are not qualified to fill that role of elder, overseer, pastor in the church. The whole vast majority of men aren't qualified to do that. But for a church well-ordered, we're going to mirror something that's grounded in creation of male-female difference, right? That Adam was made first and then Eve, and that Eve was deceived and then became a transgressor. The idea of him grounding his teaching in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, right? Say this is kind of a uniformly true statement, that the church, the pastor, the authoritative teacher should be a male. I do not permit a woman to have authority or to teach. And the idea here, I do not believe, is that a woman can't serve to teach a man anything. In fact, many of the ladies in this room have taught me things, and that is appropriate for you to do. That's an appropriate role. I don't believe that it's a prohibition against female Sunday school teachers in adult classes. I really believe that there is a spot for that within the church. Does not bother me that a woman would have something to say. What it does prohibit, though, is that the authoritative teacher in the church needs to model the creation order that God instituted back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And so at our church, I am the authoritative teacher. That's self-serving, I know, but I'm it. Some churches, they have a variety of elders. Maybe they have three or four guys who serve as elders all together. Those positions, I think, are limited to male-only position. Why do I think it's limited that way? Well, it's the entirety of the teaching of the New Testament, but specifically the teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that the position of authoritative teacher should not be held by a woman. Now, like I said, there's a lot of ink that's been spread on this. And you can go to churches in our community, not far from here, that have females serving as pastors in their churches. And I will even cooperate with some of those churches in specific things that we do together. But just because we disagree on that doesn't mean that I think that they're all totally lost and going to hell. Some of them might be. But like, that isn't the reason, right? That's not the reason. But I think the Bible is clear enough, and as someone who submits myself to the clear teaching of Scripture, I've yet to see a compelling argument against this. That's not to say I don't have books on the other side in my office. I actually have a shelf of books that I think that if you got your hands on, I kind of put them all together. It's the books that might get me fired, right? And like, you just say, hey, he's reading this, right? I just kind of group them all together. But But that's the teaching. That there's a position in the church that is dedicated for men only. That position is the position of authoritative teacher or pastor. The point that we'll make here, I guess, for your fill-in-the-blank time, is that only the role of pastor is limited to men. Only the role of pastor limited to men. You said, Matt, what about deacons? For your last week, I gave like a very brief synopsis of why I don't have an issue with females serving in the deacon ministry. I've mentioned it before. I guess I don't mind sharing it with you guys because it's my conviction. Right? Like the Bible is pretty clear that there are female, I believe, that Phoebe served as a deaconess. When there's requirements in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about what a deacon wife is supposed to be, right, there's an expectation of her serving in the deaconate ministry alongside of her husband. Like I feel good about this. So as a church, the only position that I feel comfortable limiting based on like created order is the position of pastor, or if the church had a plurality of elders, I would include that to be elders. Sunday school teachers, deacons, evangelists, missionaries, all open. And in fact, ladies, I want you to know, like, you have tons of areas in which we need service from you. The church has been impoverished before by a defective view of what women have to offer to the kingdom of God, where they've been purposely pushed to the side, purposely kept out, not allowed to really exercise any of their gifts. And there are women who are more gifted speakers than I am. You turn on TV, find these people all the time. There are women who are gifted in evangelism. There are women who are gifted in the ability to study and teach the Bible. And they are gifts to the church, who should be able to be using their gifts to bless the church. And we should be open to allowing them to use their gifts in those capacities. And to not do so, I think, harms the body of Christ. And I want to do anything I can to not harm the body of Christ. So while all Christians are called to be learners, only the role of pastor is limited to men. And then we have this final little weird teaching that's in this passage. And it's in verse 15. After he talks about Adam, Eve being deceived and then becoming a transgressor, we get verse 15. It says, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." And this idea that a woman is saved through childbearing, in childbearing, by childbearing, is difficult to understand. We don't necessarily understand that fully. Some people will say the curse of the fall, which he's referencing here at the end about Eve becoming a transgressor, the curse that fell on women was the curse of painful childbearing. And so he's actually saying that you'll be preserved through childbearing. While it will hurt, the consequences of your sin will hurt, you will survive that, you'll be saved through that. I don't think that's exactly what he's saying. I think what he's saying is that salvation was delivered to us through a baby who was born of a woman. And this is elevating, again, as a passage where I'm definitely feel like I'm probably denigrating the contributions of women. This is elevating the contribution of Mary in bearing the Savior of the world. And that we are saved, she is saved, the world is saved through the birth of a child that was born of a woman. And Baptists get uncomfortable with Mary because we don't want to talk too much about her for fear of feeling like we're crossing San Gabriel over there, right? And we end up at the wrong church. And so we're all real skittish about Mary. Like, I don't understand it. I love Mary. I think she's blessed among women, right? As it says. But we are saved. Women, men, all Christians are saved through the birth of a child. And the child was born of a woman. This is good news, right? That there is salvation for all people through the exact same thing, which was the birth of a specific child who was the gift of an obedient woman. But God went to Mary, said, "Mary, you're going to have a child." And Mary says, whatever you wish to do, Lord, I'll do. So what is the point of this passage? Well, I guess the big picture point is that men and women are different. Not so different that we can't do some things together. not so different that they can't ever be together, but there are distinct differences between men and women. Like I said earlier, we see this in the debate currently about should this volleyball player who was born a male be able to play volleyball against a bunch of ladies who were born as ladies? And then we can kind of see why that would seem like an unfair advantage, as that person was born differently than as they're currently trying to present themselves as. By the way, the transgender situation in our culture right now, like, is an absolute tragedy. And as Christians, our hearts should break for people who are hurting. Like I look in the mirror, I see myself, and I feel very comfortable. Like, I don't feel comfortable with everything that I see when I look in the mirror, but like, I feel comfortable that the person looking back at me is the person that I expect to see. Right? Like, when I shave, sometimes I'm a little surprised by my face, but it's still me. There are people who look in the mirror and they feel absolutely out of place in what they see in the mirror. That's an absolute tragedy. And as Christians, we should weep for those people who are hurting. We should pray for them. We should encourage them along their path, because that is a lonely path to walk in. It doesn't necessarily mean to affirm them inside of things that aren't true, but it doesn't mean to recognize that they aren't the villain in the story. Sometimes we want them to be. See, anyone who's not doesn't struggle with what I said. They struggle with something totally different. Make them a villain. Make them an enemy. That's a whole side story. Probably not really relevant to what I'm trying to get through today. Just to say we're different. And so as long as the church has been in existence, the teaching of the church consistently up until about 1960 was that the position of pastor was reserved to men. And I see no reason to throw that out just because of 60 years of women's liberation teaching. I don't see it. So if you're on the other side of that issue today, you're like, man, my pastor is a sexist bigot. I hope not. I've got three daughters that I want to see achieve as much as they possibly can for the kingdom of God. I've got a daughter studying some form of ministry, trying to figure out what that looks like for her. I would love for every position in the world to be open to her. I would. I think that would be very nice, that every job opening would be open to her. But I don't believe that that's biblically faithful, and I actually believe that it brings a downgrade in the church. And while there are many good women who are serving as pastors in churches, I think they would do much better serving in other positions for the Lord, using their gifts for the Lord in other ways. I think the church is being harmed. And I don't think these women are meaning wrong. I think we're confused. And so as we align ourselves underneath God's word, we let God's word to speak. And while we may want to say, yeah, but, guys, I've looked at most all the yeah buts you can think of. I don't find them to be compelling. One other thing. This is full over here on the side now. Okay. This is not I, but the Lord. No. Over here. I had a video that came to me, and it was a teaching of Billy Graham about women in ministry. It was teaching of Billy Graham being open to women in ministry. First of all, Billy Graham's not the Bible, so I can disagree with some things that Billy Graham says. But secondly, like, that specific video, and basically any video by anybody famous, like the brave new world we live in with AI is taking people's voices, slapping it on to things they never said, and making them say things that they never said. So Billy Graham, like, if you've seen that, that's not Billy Graham. Someone else putting words on Billy Graham's mouth. How do you know this, preacher? Well, first of all, like, if you listen to the whole thing, it stands out. But I was listening through it, and I got to the end, and he said paster for pastor. Paster. I'm pretty confident Billy Graham knows how to say the word pastor. Feel certain. So just be aware, like, the world out there is, there's enough, but because we record all my stuff, not that anyone cares enough to go do this, there's enough of my voice out in the world now, you can make me say anything you want on the internet. So I can't be held liable for anything, Brian. there's enough of it out there. So just be mindful, be wise. I know the world out there is a thing. It just came across my phone one day, and I was like, well, that's interesting. I didn't know Billy Graham believed that. And as I listened through it, I was like, oh, that doesn't... So then I did some more research. I was like, yeah, that's not Billy. That's okay. That's for free. Has nothing to do with it. Guys, we're different. That's okay. I'm grateful that I'm not the same as my wife. The world works better that way. But women, I want you to know you have a place of service in the church. And if you leave here today and you feel like there's no spot for a woman to serve inside of the church, I have failed at what my job was today. There's a place for you to serve. And there's people in this room right now who think that I'm a raging liberal because I'm open to women doing pretty much everything except for what I do. And they disagree with me on female deacons, and they'll disagree with me on female Sunday school teachers. And I'm okay with that because I think they're wrong, just like I probably think you're wrong about the other issue. Because I'm right. I hope. Guys, let's hold each other humbly with love and respect, recognizing that at the end, all of these things will be taken care of by the Lord. But let's be faithful as we serve. Let me pray.